to do, and I asked you to make little check marks in a book every time you said something negative, and to try to do that for 2 days or maybe just 2 hours. Anybody do that? The other thing I suggested was to make it a whole day without complaining and without saying anything negative. I'm still working on that one. How about you guys? Anybody make it? Yeah, well, it's kind of an interesting thing to do. We don't realize how often we have those thoughts that are creative little thoughts. And so I want you to think about a bird building a nest. And that bird goes and he gets a little twig and he brings it and he starts to build this nest. And pretty soon he weaves them all together and that becomes its home. Well, we have this little thought and we put it here and we bring in our next little thought and we put it there and pretty soon we weave them all together and that becomes the place where we reside. And sometimes that's a really nice place and sometimes maybe not so much. So this is your life and you get to be here now and you get to make the choices on how you want your life to be, because you are here to allow Spirit, to allow God to express itself in, through, and as you in each moment. And that is everyone. There aren't just a chosen few that are here to allow God to express. We all are here. And so many of us feel that we need a miracle in our lives. And usually for miracles, there are 4 important areas to focus on. One is health, our abundance or prosperity, our relationships, and our success. Whatever that looks like to you. You know, success means different things to different people. But first, we must be very clear what it is we're wanting, what it is we're looking for, what it is that we want to create in our life. We can't do the fuzzy stuff. You know, that fuzzy, well, maybe I want this, maybe I want that. We need to create a thought of exactly what it is that we want in our life. And if it's a new job, don't just think about the work. Think about the feeling you have when you come home after having a day in a job that you truly enjoyed. What is that feeling like? And if it's your health, I want you to imagine what you would feel like if you were so healthy that you could enjoy and do everything you ever wanted to do. What would that feel like to you? And if it's a relationship, don't think about them. That's okay to think about them, but think about how you would feel if you were loved and supported and had that perfect relationship that you want. And the reason you do that is so that you bring you into the picture. You bring you into the picture, and your consciousness accepts it as its own. And we focus on what we want. Focus on what you want, not on how you're going to get it. And be sure it's you who want it for yourself and that you're not thinking about what someone else has told you. Do we ever do that? What someone else has told you you should want for yourself? And haven't we told our kids, this is what you want for yourself? And they may not agree with you at all. So the important thing is to be very clear. And so if you got a piece of paper when you were handed a piece of paper when you came in this morning, I'd like you to just pause for a moment and think about one thing you would really like in your life and write it down in one sentence. To be so clear that you can write it down, what you want in your life, in one sentence. And then when we're done with that, we need to expect the best to happen. Expect the best to happen. and make sure it's what you really want, because if you expect less than the best, that's what you're going to get. So what you want to do is you want to expect the best and know that you deserve what you desire. You deserve it by right of your existence, and let go of the fear. There's no room for being afraid you might not get what it is you want. Because if you're afraid you might not get what it is you want, you're not truly expecting to get it, are you? In A Shortcut for a Miracle, the author says that through our oneness with Spirit, our highest hopes and our worst fears are possibilities. Which it is up to us. The choice is yours. Whatever we think most about, that's where the power goes. And remember that that loving, intelligent power is always ready to move through you into your life to create what it is that you want, what it is that you expect, and all that you need to do is provide the channel for God to work through. Provide that channel. Franklin Roosevelt led our nation through the deepest depression of the 1930s and to victory after World War II with these simple words: the only thing to fear is fear itself. I wonder if he knew how spiritually powerful those words were when he spoke them. Our change in consciousness is a gradual thing. It's a gradual thing. And every single day we can feel a little bit more, a little growth in our personal power. And we must stay watchful of our thinking, because that's what we attract to ourselves. Just like that bird's nest, as we bring those twigs in, we build the environment in which we dwell. So open your mind to possibility thinking. And stop trying to control other people or events so they'll be the way that you want them to be. It's not about them. It's about you, and it's about your consciousness. And it's about getting out of the way and quit trying to direct and allow the Creator to create through you the good you want in your life. Open your mind to possibility thinking. Remember, it's up to you what you want. But it's up to Spirit how that manifests for you. And see the result. See yourself as you want to be. See yourself as you want to be, because Spirit always says yes, and Spirit will take care of the rest. See yourself as you want to be. Expect the best and allow that law of expectancy to bring it into being. And don't waste a lot of energy talking about it. You want to focus on bringing it into being. You don't want to focus on expending your energy talking about it and having other people tell you that won't work. Because sometimes we buy into what other people tell us. And so if we don't share it, they're not going to tell us that. The other thing we need to do is be ready for it. We need to be ready for it. We say we want things. We make these choices. Are you ready to receive it? Are you truly ready to receive it? If you are, then you will do what needs to be done. You will make the choices that you need to make. You will take the steps that you need to take to allow Spirit to work through you. And you can pray. And it doesn't matter who you pray to. What it matters is a prayer is setting your intention. It's setting your intention about what you want, the highest and good, best for you, and expecting a favorable response from whatever that higher power is, whatever you call it, and speak your prayer out loud. Now, I know that sounds kind of silly, but think about it. When you speak your prayer out loud, you are clarifying in your own mind and in your own heart what it is you truly want. When you speak that prayer out loud, you are giving it much more power, because you are verbalizing the truth. You are verbalizing the truth of what you want. There is one creative power. And each one of us and everything is created out of that. And it's always present, and it's always active, and it's always listening, and it's always waiting for an opportunity to create whatever it is you want in your life this day. That power is there just waiting for you to use it. Just waiting. Now we all, many of us, know about what we call spiritual mind treatment here. And if you haven't, I'd suggest that you might want to take a foundations class and learn about it. But what we do is we recognize the qualities that we call that higher power, love, light, peace, joy, wisdom, all of those things. And then we affirm our oneness with it. We are one with that divine presence, each and every one of us, because there's nothing outside of God. There is nothing outside of God, which means you and I are in God. We are manifesting God every moment. And then we make the statement of what it is that we desire, what our heart's desire is, with good for all concerned. Because remember, if you want something, it has to be with good for all concerned, because you can't want something at the expense of someone else. And then we are grateful. We are grateful to that divine presence for acknowledging and bringing that into our lives in this moment. And we give thanks. And then we let it go. And truly, we need to let it go. It's kind of like you don't pull on the corn to make it grow, right? You let it go and allow it to germinate and allow it to grow and allow it to express in your life. Remember that your thinking corresponds with your desires. You want your thinking to correspond with your desires and not with your fears. And happiness is not a goal. Happiness is not a goal. Happiness is the joy that we feel as God expresses itself through us every day. When we become aware of that powerful presence of spirit that's within every one of us, happiness is that joy of expressing and creating. And remember, this is your life. Your primary purpose in being is to express spirit, to express life, to express love, to express and to think and to live and to grow. Remember, as little children, how anxious we were, and how anxious, you can watch these little kids, how anxious they are to learn and to grow and to create things. And somehow, as we got older and we got more involved in the mundane issues of life, we kind of lose touch with that, don't we? That primal urge to create and to grow. But we have to remind ourselves, you're never too old. Grandma Moses was 90 when she painted her first picture. We are never too old to create. We are never too old. The poet Rumi wrote, "I spent my time stringing and unstringing my instrument, while the song I came to sing remains unsung." Now, each one of us is a unique expression of God, and each one of us has our very own song to sing. And it's our song. No one else can sing it for us. We need to sing our song. We need to express our creativity. Each of us. Because if we don't sing our song, no one else is going to do it. They can't. And so if you want to be successful, there are some important things to remember. Place no blame. Don't blame someone else. Get out of the victim role. Accept responsibility for what's going on in your life. You are a creator. And whatever it is, you help to create that. And if you place the blame on what he or she did to me, I'm taking control of my life and my emotions, and I'm handing it over to someone else, and I certainly don't want to do that. I don't want to think that someone else is in control of my emotions. And let me tell you, I've had that experience recently that I think, oh, why did he do that? Well, it's not about him. It's about how I responded to whatever he did. You know what? It's him, and it's past, and I let it go. Whoever it was. And so check your attitude. Do you love what you're doing? Do you at least like what you're doing? Because if you don't like what you're doing, if you hate your job or you hate what you're doing, that stress not only affects your job, it affects your health, it affects your home life, it affects your entire life. It's important to love and to embrace whatever it is we are doing. So there was this man who grew up in Illinois in the late 1800s, and he loved baseball, and he was a great baseball player. And his plan was to go on and become a pro baseball player. And he was in an accident and cut off his middle finger to the first joint. And he lost the opportunity to go forward with his physical activities. And so he got a job. He decided he was going to be a pharmacist. And so he got a job in a drugstore. And he didn't like that job. He didn't like waiting on people and dealing with complaints and all that sort of thing. He really didn't like it, and so he quit, and he left town, and he moved to the big city. He moved to Chicago. Well, the only thing he knew how to do was to be a pharmacist, so he got a job in a drugstore. But he made the decision that instead of disliking the job, he was going to look at it as an opportunity to see what he could do better. And so he worked at several drugstores throughout the years, and he figured out what they did right and what they did wrong, and he figured out what he could do to help them be better. For 7 years he did that, and the more dedicated he became, the more challenged he became to open his own store. And finally, one day, Charles Walgreen bought his first drugstore. He bought his very first drugstore in 1901, and he bought four more in 12 years. And by 1930, he had 525 stores. And as we came into this century, they were adding stores at the rate of 450 a year. It didn't have anything to do with anything other than he changed his attitude, because he wanted to discover what he could do to be the best that he could be. And he was a bit of a philanthropist. He was one of the first business owners in the United States to have a profit-sharing program and a retirement program for his employees. And he was so successful because spiritual flow is expanded as we share with others. And so as he was sharing his good with his employees, it continued to grow and grow and grow. And each and every one of us has that same potential. We have the potential, unlimited potential. Our highest vision that we have for ourselves is nothing compared to the unlimited potential that's available to each and every one of us. Our desire to express belief is the door that opens the way to power and presence and life expressing through us. Think of belief as the doorway through which your good comes. Our desire to express is actually spirit's desire to express its good in, through, and as each and every one of us. If it's a desire to create in any way, to paint, to sing, whatever it is, to sew, whatever it is that you are creating. Think about this. In 1954, in the 1800s, they figured out a way to time the runners. Spiritual striders, pay attention to this. And in the late 1800s, they figured out a way to time the runners, but no one ever made it past a 4-minute mile. And suddenly in 1954, one man made it past the 4-minute mile, and then another and another and another and another, because the belief that you could not make it was no longer there. And isn't that the truth for all of us? We are expressions of the living God, and nothing is impossible to the divine. We are the ones that limit ourselves. Spirit responds to our thoughts, to our feelings. Spirit responds to each and every one of us, and those feelings that are the most dominant are the ones that are created. Nothing is lost in the spirit. All of those little twigs form that nest, and they're all in there somewhere. And it is our powerful thoughts and emotions that we create. The good ones, you know, they come to mind, but those negative ones, they hang out just below the surface, and then some little trigger will happen, and they pop right up, and they pop up here. So it is important for us to learn to handle the anger, the resentment, the regret, the guilt. You know, a lot of us feel guilty about things that if you were to sit down with a counselor, he'd say, you feel guilty about that? All kids do that. You know, we took on, someone told us something and we took it on. We took on this guilt that really is unimportant and unnecessary, and it's up to us to be able to let it go. Let it go. It doesn't serve you anymore. It's in the past. Think about trying to walk forward when you're looking backwards. You know, it's a little difficult to do. I bet our spiritual striders look forward, look where they're going and not where they've been. So it's important to let go of the past and to handle those negative emotions. Dig them up, let them go. One of the things that they tell you is forgiveness is the answer. Forgiving yourself, forgiving the other. It doesn't mean you condone their actions. That's not what I'm saying at all. What they did may have been truly wrong, but forgive them. Because when you forgive them, it takes away their hold on you. When you forgive them, they are no longer the one controlling those puppet strings. Forgiveness is the answer. Forgiveness is of ourselves. It's letting go of the past so we can be in the presence. It is allowing ourselves to see the beauty of today. When we're so involved in looking at ain't it awful in the past, we miss out on all the beauty that's happening to us and around us every single day. Whatever happened then is certainly not as important as what is happening now. So be here now. Open yourself to a greater love, to a greater life, to a greater flow of the infinite good through you, because this is your life. You need to live it. You need to live it well. Love yourself. Appreciate yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And don't forget your spiritual practices. It is through our spiritual practices that we grow. And they include meditation, affirmative prayer, visualization, affirmations. You know, every Sunday when we do the collection, we give you an affirmation, and I challenge you to write some of your own. Put them on little sticky notes up on your mirror. Personal, powerful, and present tense. Because when you say, I will happen, it leaves it out there in the future. You want to say, it is happening now. I am healed, whole, and healthy. I am loved. So before we move into prayer, I want to try a little practice, and I want everyone to sit up in their chairs and take things off their lap and just kind of get comfortable and close your eyes. I want you to imagine a golden egg above your head. It's filled with energy, and that egg cracks open, and that golden energy flows down through every cell and fiber of your being, relaxing it as you go, flowing gently down through each cell. Relax. And breathe in and out as if in a loop. Breathing in and breathing out, breathing in and breathing out as in a loop. And feel your muscles relax with each breath. And focus on one of those qualities of spirit. Love, life, light, power, beauty, joy, peace. Focus on one of those. Visualize it. May just be a feeling. You may have an actual visual experience, but visualize what that attribute feels like in through and as you. Focus on that power. Focus on expressing it, being it, feeling it, and receiving it. And allow yourself to continue to breathe in and out. And so it is from this place of peace, this place of love, this place of joy, that we move into prayer.